For more on what it means, though, for the market and your investments, I want to bring on a market guest here to break it all down for us. The CIO of Girard, Timothy Chubb, joins us here. And Timothy, I mean, when we look at it, it had been interesting just in, you know, the context of yesterday's sell-off. Really, tech stocks getting hit hard as we saw the yield on the 10-year start to rise back north of 1.5%. I mean, talk to me about where you're seeing this kind of churn go. As we wrap up September, a lot of people applauding that. What looks next to you here on the horizon?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really a great point. I mean, I think yesterday's sell-off was really largely driven by rate movement, and it wasn't necessarily the size of the rate movement. I guess to some degree it may have been, but really the speed that took place and seeing this move take place over the last 10 days actually was two standard deviations from the mean, and not to make this a stat class, but pretty significant. Move in a very short period of time, and things do seem to be cooling off a little bit. And so, as has been typical in history, when we see rates rise, the correlation of steepening yield curve and just higher rates in the longer and especially the belly of the curve, as we've seen in the last week, tends to bode very well for a lot of the cyclical growth assets that, like we saw back at the end of November, or excuse me, early November, after the vaccine news was announced after the election. But to me, you look at the market, and while we've seen such a large period of time go by without a 5% pullback, looking under the surface, we've seen pretty significant sector and factor shifts take place with a number of companies in a variety of different sectors well off their highs, well more than what the S&P 500 has, as a whole, in excess of 10%.
How big is the political risk in the market right now? You've got a number of moving pieces over in Washington, the debate to suspend the debt ceiling. You've also got the potential infrastructure bill passing, the reconciliation bill. How much of those worries do you think have capped the gains that we've seen?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think as far as, issues with the budget and the debt ceiling, I think likely the market will shrug those off. And we've seen some volatility take place in the last, 10 years or so when we've had some of these issues in the past. But, to me, the more important thing to focus on is really, the impact of corporate tax rates. And so, originally when the first proposal was announced, it was estimated that EPS for the S&P 500 would be impacted by about 9%. But we picked some of that back up, through the infrastructure bill. And as more details have continued to come out, and it's been very much a moving target, it's been fairly difficult to measure. But it to me, that's really more of the focus of I think investors, and that hasn't been necessarily priced in, at least from our perspective, as appropriately as it should have been. And I think the other piece is wage pressure, right? Here ahead of earnings season, we had some news earlier this week and last week from companies reporting on the back end of things. Really, point towards lower guidance as a result of some of the wage pressure. And I think one of the market things that the market may be underestimating is the speed in which this labor market recovers. Looking at the Fed meetings and dot plot and the whole analysis from last week, I think the median is an expectation for unemployment is about 4% at the end of next year, and we've seen estimates from economists coming even lower than that. And it takes us back to, third, fourth quarter 2019, where we started to see the low end of the, earning market. And here in the United States, really started to see some wage pressure. And that's going to cut into companies' earnings, more so small cap companies as opposed to large cap, but still not necessarily being priced in, I think, as much as the risk would potentially present it to be.
Yeah, I guess for investors watching this too, you saw the sell-off yesterday, but there was one sector that managed to stay in the green for the better part of the day. That would be energy, and we've talked a lot about some of the concerns there on the gas and oil front in the pandemic. I mean, when you kind of reset here, and we know September is historically a rough month, but when you look ahead to investors watching right now, what would be the advice there in terms of sector plays or favorites in your portfolio here when it comes to maybe which ones still stand to benefit from either some of that price dislocation due to the pandemic or just kind of spending in the future?
Yeah, great question. I think it's a balance, right? We're typically, as a firm, we've tended to focus more towards more secular growth opportunities. I think having, more of a balanced portfolio, and this has been, really the case when opportunity presented itself last March and April, within our strategies, having a mix of companies that are really at the intersection of, long-term secular growth tailwinds and taking advantage of pullbacks like we've seen the last day or so. You look at communications and communication services, excuse me, and technology. It's, you know, 40% of the S&P 500. And there's a number of companies that are still benefiting from this, you know, transition to e-commerce, for example. You look at e-commerce sales as a percentage of retail sales and, you know, having it still be, you know, less than 20 cents on every dollar spent, you know, being, you know, done online, I think really, you know, raises the eyebrows of a lot of our clients when we're discussing with them and presents a lot of opportunities within the industrial sector, in particular in, you know, parcel delivery. And we've seen some really strong numbers from a volume perspective. We're seeing repricing of contracts taking place at the end of this quarter, which could bode well, and a larger shift away from consumer and more towards, you know, commercial parcel delivery. And so, you know, that's a cyclical name. It also is benefiting from some of the long-term secular opportunities as more and more consumers, you know, spend more and more money online. I think the other place that, you know, we're optimistic about it is, you know, in healthcare and the life science tool space. You know, there's a lot of exciting new biotech companies that we're, you know, spending a lot of time looking at ourselves. But for a lot of our clients who maybe can't deal with the emotion and the volatility associated with, you know, an FDA approval, there's businesses in life sciences that are ultimately picks and shovels type of opportunities that are integral in making sure those drugs, you know, come to market as they go through, you know, instrument acquisition, you know, leasing, and sometimes even revenue sharing of some of these products. And so those are really some of the areas that we're looking at and taking advantage of this pullback. Again, some of those companies tend to have higher multiples and have a little bit below a longer growth runway.
Some good takeaways there. Timothy Chubb, Gerard, CIO. Good to have you on today.